Hello, I'm Lorcan Malone, Chief Executive of the Analytics Institute of Ireland, and you're very welcome to our podcast series, Data Leaders. In these podcasts, I chat with some of the most important and influential people in the data analytics area in Ireland, and I try to find out a little bit about the people and personalities behind the careers. I also want to explore their philosophy in relation to data and analytics in general, and also find out a little bit about where they think the industry is going in the future. I hope you enjoy this series of interviews. And if you do, please subscribe below. Thank you. So hello, everybody, and you're very welcome to our podcast today, our Data Leaders Conversation. Today is with Dara Canavan. Dara is Global Analytics Director with an organization called Quidel. And Dara has been in that role for what, Dara, about a year now?
I'm with the company 3 years now, nearly in total. I joined them kind of the summer of 2018.
Yeah, and but has been promoted since for all your great work. Well done to being Global Analytics Director, which is a very important role in the organization, I'm sure. Maybe you could tell us a little bit. I didn't know about the organization, Dara, until you joined them. Can you tell us a little bit about what the organization does?
Yeah, Quidel, I guess it's a leader in diagnostic healthcare with a kind of a specific focus on point-of-care testing. So at a high level, what that means is you've got instruments you can place in laboratories or GP offices that can, you know, perform a variety of tests. The company, you know, I guess its main focus had been kind of flu testing for quite a while. Where I got involved with the company was they completed a major acquisition, you know, towards the end of 2017, you know, which expanded into the cardiac space. And that prompted the setup of an office in EMEA here in Galway. And, you know, the more recent focus has been on COVID testing since the pandemic hit. But that kind of at a high level is what the company does, point of care testing across a wide range of things.
So does COVID and what's happened with pandemic, has that had a very significant impact on your business?
Well, it has. I mean, it's had an impact on all businesses. So like everywhere else, we're working remotely for the most part, except the obviously manufacturing facilities. And then the nature of the products we produce, it's obviously very busy 12, 14 months. In manufacturing the COVID test specifically. It's had a very, very big impact. So the company's been through a lot of change, I guess, over the last few years between the acquisition and now the pandemic.
For sure. And do you see, and I know nobody can fully foretell, but do you see testing remaining part of our lives for a number of years going forward? Would that be how the company sees it? Will we be... COVID in 18 months' time, do you think?
Well, I think that's a hard one for anyone to give a definitive answer on. But I believe that, you know, that there probably will be that requirement for testing going forward, given, I guess, the level of uncertainty, even when you see there's different variants and things emerging around. So, yeah, there probably will be that requirement for testing going forward.
So, this podcast is called Data Leaders, and very specifically, we were talking about data analytics and AI and all of those subjects that revolve around that. So could you tell us a little bit about maybe analytics in your organization, and obviously without giving away any commercial secrets, but generally what is analytics about in Quidel and what are you trying to achieve there?
Well, I guess analytics, in terms of not just Quidel or the involvement I've had with it in other organizations, for me, the main thing is about delivering information and insights to the business so they can move things forward. I mean, even if you think of it from a sales perspective, you don't want your sales team spending their time sifting through spreadsheets. That's not their role. So what you're really trying to deliver from an analytics perspective is give them the tools they need, what they need to be, you know, seeing what are the key things they want to track, and that whatever information they need kind of jumps out at them straight away so that they can make the decisions they need and get on with driving the business, and to kind of do so in a dynamic fashion. I mean, one of the things we've kind of aimed for internally here is that when we have our reviews, they're very interactive. So, for the majority of meetings, rather than you know, your kind of your set PowerPoint presentations. We kind of aim for the more interactive ones, where if looking at a number and somebody has a question on it, we can navigate and drill down to, well, what's behind that number, be it at a product or customer level, so that you're really getting all the information you need while you're there in the room, and then can agree on actions and move on from there.
So supporting decisions. And in a manufacturing environment, is there other stuff? Are you doing things like preventative maintenance? Are you looking at the actual manufacturing floor, the shop floor? Does that come into it?
Well, they're all things that I guess we're looking at and exploring as part of, I guess, a wider analytics roadmap. I mean, the primary focus for a lot of the analytics will be in your more traditional finance space and also the commercial space. I mean, really, in the majority of companies I've worked in, it's getting the understanding of what's happening with your customers and activities is the primary focus. So that's where I guess a lot of the meetings and things would focus on. And it's been the same anywhere I've worked. It's really about the main focus would be supporting that commercial activity. Right. You'll encompass some of the other bits as well, but the commercial side of it will be the primary focus.
So it's being effective rather than efficiencies. It's more about how the business is going, what decisions need to be made around pricing, sales, tactics, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everything in that space, I guess it's been both more effective and efficient. That, like, with the kind of technologies that are there now, the fantastic thing is you can automate a lot of, I guess, what have been quite manual in the past, so that you're kind of jumping straight to that effectiveness and looking at what's happening at a product line level, be it a regional level, you know, what trends are we seeing by product, by market, that type of thing.
And have you seen analytics evolve over the years? Because you've been at it quite a long time, in terms of its importance to the top table, to the senior people in organizations. Has that evolved? Has that become more and more important as time has gone on?
Yeah, that's my sense of it. It has, particularly. I mean, my own view is it's probably taken longer to get there than I had originally thought. I mean, when I was working, when I started out many years ago, to me, it was always obvious that you need access to your information and really be able to be dynamic with it to make decisions. I don't know if that was fully understood, we'll say years ago. Whereas now, well, there would also have been limitations from a technology perspective, whereas now technologies have evolved and the understanding of the value of analytics. And a lot of that for me, a lot of it depends on, I guess, getting that buy-in at the executive level. So, I mean, I'm fortunate in the company I'm in now that there is that appetite from some of our senior executives, like our VP of Finance and our COO. They really want to drive, you know, a data-driven culture within the organization. Once you kind of have that tone being set at the top, that makes a huge difference, because there's kind of the trickle-down effect of if people know such an executive is going to be looking at information, then they'll want to make sure that they're also on top of that information in the context of being able to discuss what will come up at the meetings.
It's a really good point. And obviously the opposite is also true. If some executive is poo-pooing the data and saying, look, I want to go on gut feel or experience, it can also trickle down as well. And a cynicism about data can become infectious in an organization too.
Yeah, that can happen to an extent, exactly, that some people just, I guess, don't necessarily see the value. Where I think the balance needs to be struck is you can develop things that give you trends and so on, but you need to be connected with the business to get the context behind them, because the graph or the chart might tell you something, but then when you actually talk to the person in that region, they'll be able to give the story behind the numbers, and there's usually that back and forth so that it all makes sense.
Yeah, it can't be just about the numbers, it has to be contextualized. I totally agree. Which brings me to your career to date, which has been most unusual in terms of your path, in that you've worked, it's been brilliant, because you've worked in government, you've worked in banking, you've worked in manufacturing, so quite a diverse career path. Maybe you could bring us back to, we say, Dara in secondary school, what did you want to do and what did you end up studying and how did you end up in the analytics and ending up being global analytics director for a large organization? So how did that path happen?
Well, I mean, what I wanted to do was play for Liverpool, but my mother told me that was ridiculous. So that was shooting my initial career dreams down. So then, So then I guess if we are going all the way back to secondary school, at the time, I guess technology was only really coming to the fore then. So I would have been very interested in the accounting side of it, but also technology. And, you know, being from Galway, I ended up going to NUI Galway. They came in and did, you know, a couple of presentations in the secondary school, and one of them was on the information technology course. And when they came in and did it, there was actually a large portion of it that, you know, covered the commerce course, which was the other one I was considering at the time. So then I figured IT seems to make sense here because I'm going to get both technology and the commerce element in the one course. I mean, and as I made my way through the IT course, you know, as I was graduating, I had kind of come to the conclusion the programming side of it in terms of the real nitty gritty wasn't for me. So I went on and did a diploma in marketing. And then ultimately, when I moved to Dublin, did the chartered accountancy exams while I was working in the bank. So, I mean, that's where I was kind of seeing the value of how you would use information in a business context. And to me, there was a gap, which I think there still is to a degree, in terms of blending those skills, understanding what you can do with technology, while at the same time having an understanding from a commercial and financial perspective with the type of skills you'd pick up on a course like the Chartered Accountants. Yeah. So I was in banking during quite an interesting period. I started working in banking in 2005 during the boom. Yeah, I had quite a few thoughts which I would have expressed in there in terms of the what I thought was right or wrong with things. And ultimately, we did see the crash that happened. So, there tends to be maybe not so much of an appetite for analytics when everything is going fine in a company, because as long as the boxes are green, sure, everyone is happy. But when there's challenges or a lot of changes, that's when there's a lot more of an appetite for analytics to understand what's going on. So needless to say, there was kind of an intense desire for information and understanding what was in the bank's portfolio as the market started to crash then. So there was a lot of things going on there. I mean, Bank of Scotland was a subsidiary of Halifax, which ultimately got taken over by Lloyds. So I kind of got a view of three different organizations, if you'd like, all at the one time. And I guess what happened with the banking industry was what prompted me to want to move to work for NAMA when that started getting set up. So I guess that was a completely different type of organization, even though related to banking. NAMA took on the loans, but I mean, I'm pretty sure if I was to check the NAMA website, they'd largely describe themselves as a property or an asset management agency, because you really needed to understand what was underpinning the loans. So that was a whole different type of analytics. Yeah. Space you were moving into then. I was kind of 10 years between those banking and NAMA before moving back to Galway into the manufacturing space initially with Thermo King for 3 years, and now I'm with Quidel. So it's been, I mean, Thermo King I'd say was a normal period. Other than that, I think I don't know if crisis is the word, but certainly it's been pretty hectic in most of the organizations I've been in the context of the financial crisis. And now this company, the pandemic, has obviously had a huge impact in terms of activity.
For sure. It's been a most extraordinary 10 years, really, or a little more than 10 years in terms of we were just coming out of a crash and then going, you know, starting to recover well and now had a pandemic. So it's going to be interesting moving forward again as to whether we fully recover and this is a blip, or this is going to have long-term serious implications for our economy. And, you know, it's a real challenge, isn't it, for analytics to be able to say, yeah, well, we do predictive analytics, but can we actually do a trend analysis that foretells what is likely to occur over the next, we say, in the property market or in the or in our taxation, what's going to happen over the next while, particularly when the public supports are pulled as we get back to a normal way of working. It's going to be interesting. So in particular with analytics, why have you been drawn to that part of, you know, you could have stayed in a more wider, say, strategic financial role. Why was analytics and the technology so appealing to you? And why have you, you know, you've kind of maintained that over the years, Dara?
I guess to me, the appeal is you're really getting to see what's going on in a business. If you're having a full look at all products, all markets, all customers, dealing with the various departments, the sales teams, it's giving you that full range of exactly what's going on. And also, it's very interesting to be involved in those commercial discussions and hearing what the sales team are thinking and what they want to do. So you're very connected with what's happening on the ground in the business, while at the same time getting that, I guess, big picture view of what's going on and pulling it all together. Yeah. So that always appealed to me. And also, I guess what I would see is the ability to help them with their goals. To me, that's one of the primary benefits of analytics. So, you know, generally, I would try to make things as easy as possible for the sales team. So while lots of things are automated, there's always going to be elements where you need their input. So for me, rather than sending them something that they need to fill out, I'd prefer, because I know some people that's not going to be their skill set, I'd nearly prefer get on the phone with them or on a call for 30 minutes and do it for them and talk through with them what their assumptions are to understand it. Because, you know, one, I'm making it easier for them rather than maybe having to spend hours doing something with a tool that they're not overly familiar with.
Yeah.
We get it done in half an hour. But I also then have the answers to the questions that would probably pop up once it all feeds through the system, because I've taken the time to actually engage in that discussion with them. So it does streamline everything.
So how important is, we say, and a term that's used a lot, but how important is storytelling with your data in Quidel and what you do with that data in terms of creating a coherent message to the management team?
It would be a big element, right. The biggest, I would say, and that's been a common theme with every company. I mean, ultimately, that is what you need to do with your information, be able to tell the story. I mean, if you're a company that has, I don't know, 100 products across 50 countries, if you just look at a top line sales number and it's up or down versus the previous quarter, the logical question is going to be why and where. So you need to be able to tell that story. And that's where using analytics and these tools comes into play. So it does play a big part. So one is, I guess, coming up with ideas that you think will help the business and getting their feedback on whether it does or not. And the other is, and it's the reason being connected with the business is so important, when you're listening to what they perceive as the challenges, if they're talking about things they'd like to see and you know the data exists somewhere, well, then you can actually solve that problem for them by utilizing it. So it's kind of it works both ways. You can try come up with ideas to help them, but you're also listening to what they're saying are the pressing needs and trying to respond to that with the information.
So you touched on, you said some things are automated. Have you started to get into more advanced applications such as robotic process automation within your organization? Are you looking at AI? Are you doing anything with that yet? And what's your view on that?
That one, I'm going to look into things a little bit more. I mean, I wouldn't be heavily involved in what they're actually doing on the manufacturing side of it, where there would definitely be automation on that piece, but it wouldn't be my sphere of expertise. So I wouldn't even try comment on what they're doing on the manufacturing side, other than I know they've made lots of advances there. On the analytics side, I mean, what I'm focusing on is, you know, breaking down barriers to data and integrating lots of different types of data sets. So, I mean, in terms of the tools, two of the primary ones that I would use would be Alteryx and Tableau. So yeah. If I try to do a simple analogy, if you go back 15, 20 years, the two primary tools, and they probably still are for lots of companies, would be Microsoft Excel and PowerPoint. So where what I would compare them to is those two tools, except Alteryx is now like Excel, except a million times better in terms of the capabilities. You can do spatial analysis, pull data from all over the place, and click a button and it's done in 1 minute versus spending days in Excel. And Tableau is a visualization tool that is just phenomenal. It's like, think of PowerPoint come to life, that you have your slide and instead you can drill down on it and do whatever you like. So that's there where we're going. I mean, I'm looking into different things in terms of how we might leverage the full, I guess, capabilities of those tools. On the predictive space, Alteryx has a lot of tools that I'm kind of currently evaluating how we best integrate them with what we're doing with the business. So there is a lot going on in that space, and we've already had huge success. They're the two things that are kind of driving what we're doing with the teams at the moment.
And what kind of size team do you have in your analytics practice in Quidel?
Well, in terms of that, it's not so much that we have a specific team. I kind of coordinate with teams. So it's almost like we've got a resource here in EMEA, and then we've resources in the US that essentially I connect with them. It's almost like, if you think of it as trying to create analytics champions within the different pockets of the organization.
Okay, and what do you think are the kind of attributes, if you're thinking about people working in the analytics space, because it's a lot of our listeners are people who perhaps are starting to consider moving into the analytics space and want to understand a little bit more about what's required, what attributes they need, and also, you know, what would the work be like? I mean, what advice would you, first of all, what do you look for? What attributes are important? And then secondly, what advice would you give for people trying to come into the analytics space for the first time?
Yeah, that's a good question, because things are evolving there. I mean, understanding how to structure data would be a key piece to it. I mean, I had an advantage in the sense that databases were obviously a module in terms of the information technology piece in university. The way things have evolved, I don't think you need, we'll say, that level of knowledge around databases anymore, because the tools are evolving to the point that really you just need to be able to access the data.
How much numeracy is important? I mean, do you need to have a strong mathematical background in order, and statistical abilities to be able to operate effectively in the roles?
I think you would, to a large extent, and that's where I see, we'll say, the finance world playing an, you know, kind of, that's where I would see the key change possibly coming, that the finance world is going to become much more an analytics world. Yeah. Because I guess some of the things you've talked about, maybe the traditional finance functions, a lot of it probably can end up being automated, but that will mean there'll be more time for finance teams to spend on, we'll say, deep dive analytics and value add, which is about understanding the information. And the mathematical piece, definitely in the context of building models, but even in terms of the tools I use for the visualization, there'll be all the work you do in terms of transforming data, which you'd automate through these tools to give you a data set. But then when you build your dashboards, you will want metrics, simple ones like growth and so on, to dynamically change based on filters you pick. So that's where you're going to need to embed some calculations within the visual layer. So you will need to understand how all the data integrates, and I guess what you're describing there, the mathematics that go behind it. So I would see finance teams playing a key piece of that. And I mean, that's already happening. What's interesting is, and I've spoken with the key guy in the Chartered Accountants on this, that's doing the course, John. They're already, the Chartered Accountants in Ireland have changed the course, that tools like Alteryx are now part of the syllabus, because I think they recognize that that's where finance is evolving to.
Yeah, indeed. We're working with all of the different accounting bodies at this stage who are all putting in a data analytics module into their programs. So you can see it happening. And we've one of our client organizations is Pfizer, and they have a huge, I think, 250 accountants in Ireland who are all keen to make that journey, and the organization is starting to see itself as a data organization rather than just a finance house, which is really interesting. Finally, Dara, we're running low on time now. I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about your own future plans. Where do you see your own role evolving? What do you don't want to do in the future? And also maybe how you see the technology evolving over the next number of years.
Yeah, I've only recently moved to this role, so I don't know if I thought so that far ahead on things. But I mean, to me, it's always been about how I can add value to the business using information. So that will continue to be my priority. I mean, I think the culture in this company, Quidel, that I'm in is fantastic. So I'm really enjoying working here. And I would see huge growth potential for the company longer term, especially if you just think about what's happened in the pandemic. Yeah. Everybody knows about testing now, whereas 14 months ago, you know, very few people would have. So, I'm, you know, very enthusiastic about what the potential is, just I will say within my current situation. On the technology side of it, that's one that I'm always trying to keep on top of. And that would actually be a piece in terms of the question you asked earlier. When you want to get into analytics, it's not kind of something I think that you can do a course and you're done and you're set now for the next 20 years. You actually nearly need to keep on top of what's evolving in terms of new technologies or even the technologies that you do use. I mean, a lot of these software companies are bringing out new versions or upgraded versions every 3-4 months with new features. So in terms of things that, you know, say the CPD and the accounting side of it, that's really relevant in terms of technologies because of the advances that are continually being made.
Sure, that's a very good advertisement for the Analytics Institute. Thanks for that. I think that's really what we try to do, is ensure that our members are keeping abreast of a rapidly changing technology landscape, which makes it all the more exciting. I mean, if it stood still, I think people would get bored. There's very intelligent people working in this kind of industry, and they're curious, so they want to learn continuously throughout their careers, which, you know, is fantastic for the analytics world. Dara, it was a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much. Very interesting, fabulous career to date. I wish you every success in the future. Given the fact that you're selling COVID tests, I think we can pretty be assured that your financial situation as an organization is going to be pretty solid for the next while anyway.
Well, yeah, you'd hope so, but then I guess the most difficult environment to predict I can think of, but yeah.
Oh, for sure. Dara, listen, thank you, and best of luck in the future.
Okay, thanks for having me on. Very much enjoyed it. Thanks, Lorcan.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to hear more from other data leaders, please subscribe below.